Welcome in Lincoln County Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Senator Groney joining us in the studio. Mike, how was your weekend?
Good.
Busy on Saturday.
Yeah, the parade was nice. I hadn't been in. Of course, there wasn't one last year. But
I noticed you didn't call me to get hauled around on the Harley.
Yeah,
you must have found a car to get.
I got a pickup so I could jump on the tailgate.
Not room for social distancing on the back of that Harley. That's what Mike was worried about.
Yeah. That was good to see a lot of people out and enjoying life. A nice day. Really a nice day.
Wasn't it a great day for a parade?
I heard more people say it was just nice to get out and be able to visit with other people. That was kind of the main...
Yeah, you can still
push behind it all.
I was out in Colorado last week at a Wendy's in the line. There was a lineup because nobody can hire anybody. There's so much fraud in this unemployment stuff going on. We're just throwing money around. There's no moral character, very little of it left. But anyway, so people are... they only had one person there, and a big long line, and I sneezed, and everybody scattered and ran for mask, and I got... So if you want to jump the line, folks, somewhere, just sneeze.
Start coughing a little bit.
Yeah, cough a little bit. There's still that fear out there. Anyway, but...
I like the ones where they have the signs on the floor that say, stand here.
Yeah.
I ain't buying that. I've seen too many of the Coyote Roadrunner shows.
Those Looney Tunes will get you.
Yeah. Stand here and then get hit with a rock. You know?
There's too many sheep out there that say stand here and then they never move. But anyway, because nobody told them they could move. But anyway, I'm just being frustrated about the way our country's going.
You do sound like a sociology teacher I had early in college. He was a conservative, which was rare, you know. But he told me that, you know, as I go on in life, he said, you'll realize there's not much difference between the general population and a herd of sheep.
Yeah.
And I think he was onto something.
Yeah, anyway, but it's some of them are so fearful they bark back when you do tell them they're sheep. Anyway, no, everything's going fine. I don't know what's happening in Lincoln. I've been staying away from it, and I'm a little frustrated. I've just read an article and been paying attention that 16 states have done things to ban the critical race theory in their schools and even their universities. Idaho did. We do nothing because we're moderates. Our leadership in the legislature are moderates, to get things done, they've compromised, and they don't want any controversial subjects bringing to the floor because it might upset their corporate income tax cuts that they want really bad, more than they want to protect the people from... attacks on our culture and our beliefs. But I have very little hope that anything's going to happen next year on educational standards or the critical race theory because we just don't have the moderates don't have the, as I call them, country club Republicans. Life is good for them. They've managed to get enough done in government that they're protected, they are favored with the tax system, and they do quite well. So the system works well for them. They don't want to upset the apple cart. But the average person, life is happening to them, and they're not happy what's being taught. And you talk about sheep, the arrogance of the government employees in public education that they have a right to decide what is taught to our children, and we are supposed to accept their expertise on it. It absolutely turns my stomach. But how can you be that arrogant? How can you be that sure of yourself that you can sit in a classroom as a government employee and tell children about your view and teach them on your view on racial matters or on sexual behavior choices? It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
I wouldn't deem to do that to anybody, the kid. If I was a teacher, I would just teach the subject matter before me. But... sadly, it's happening across the country, and it's not good. But the governor's speaking out, but he can't do anything either. All you can do is talk about it, just as I am today. But otherwise, we keep rolling around, trying to work with the city to get a change of subject on you. MicroTIF started. There's some misunderstandings on it that somehow. There's a group of individuals in this community who want to use TIF wrongly and use it as economic development. So they want to save the entire 35% of the city area that can allowable to be blighted and substandard for the outskirts of town where they can do development, not redevelopment. So there's some pushback about doing the micro-TIF in some of the communities because they're afraid they'll lose the ability to have the area, enough area to TIF cornfields and pastures on the outskirts of town. But anyway, so we're pushing that yet, and I think we'll get something done at the city here, trying to explain it to those who are in power. But I'm just concerned about who is setting the economic development, the TIF policy, tax increment policy for the city. It's supposed to be elected officials. It seems like we got the CRA, Community Redevelopment Authority, doing that. That is not their authority. Their authority is just to look at a project and decide if it fits the standards and should be approved. They shouldn't be setting any policy about which project, what type of projects are accepted and turned down. They are just appointees to a commission who follow the rules, and if this project fits the rules, then the selected officials decide. If no project should be told you don't qualify ahead of time because it isn't development, it's actual redevelopment. And some individuals are getting told your project don't qualify because it's redevelopment. The Constitution of our state says tax increment financing is period for redevelopment of blighted and substandard existing areas. But there's no police. It's just like I mentioned earlier, we have a problem in society. And our problem with democracy is not that it's good. It's the moral character behind it. Of the average citizen, the Christian, Judeo-Christian based things that you have a higher authority you answer to, but now it's can I get away with it? Is the end justify the means? It's just what I said about the $300 billion or more of fraud on the unemployment benefits, and that's not some small individual, single parent who applied and you know wasn't qualified because they were still doing some part-time job. They're not talking about those kind of. We're talking about pure and simple fraud. People making up names, post offices, applying getting PO boxes and getting checks mailed to them. It's just $300 billion in this country of fraud. That's just a moral. That's just a moral problem we have in this country. And it's just like a community uses TIF wrong. That's a moral problem. That's a moral problem that you've got certain people on a city council who will vote for a project that is not redevelopment. And they know it. But they look at the end justifies the means. It's the husband who cheats on a wife. The end justifies the means. It's the petty thief who works for somebody and steals from the owner, the boss. It's the moral problem because the end justifies the means. I needed the money for my family. We have a real moral problem in this country. And I don't know how I could, as a state senator, could legislate around that. You can't legislate most of our laws created are based on the moral concept that if you tell an individual you shouldn't do that, they won't do it. 90% of the statutes that get passed, the regulatory, you shouldn't do this as for the society, you shouldn't do this. There's no police. Taxing with finance, it has no policing mechanism. Attorney General can't police it. Department of Economic Development can't police it. So it's relied upon the communities to do it correctly and honest, decent elected officials. Now, you know, I've talked about that in this community, but the packing plant is an honest-to-truth, good tax increment financing. So was the mall, because they were older areas of towns that were blighted for some reason or another, and substandard because of older. The packing plant is you're sitting on a former sewage pond, that's blighted. Access to it and floodplain problem is substandard. That fits. You go over to the mall. It was built in the 70s. I believe it's over 40 years old. It's one of those deals where you could. It costs more to push it in, pull up the concrete, and redo the parking lots than it does to start over in an open cornfield. So,
it's been declared blighted and substandard for some time, the mall property has.
This area should be, yeah.
And then going back to the meatpacking plant, I believe that the developers want to use TIF to raise the ground level of the potential plan.
Yeah, it's a good TIF.
So.
Yes, it makes sense. Both of those make sense. It's the Hobby Lobby now. That was a good TIF. It was an old tin building, broken up parking lot. There's a lot of open cornfields around the area that they could have open areas developers had or real estate speculators had. They could have built there, but they didn't. They redid that.
Mm-hmm.
So this theory where you're reading a paper from an amateur that you're either for TIF or against TIF, it's hogwash. It's do you do it correctly? Do you use it correctly? And that's what my goal was with MicroTIF, and I worked with Senator Wayne a lot. We both knew that TIF wasn't being used for the real reason for the lower income people, lower income areas, small businesses who struggle to survive. That's what TIF is for, and to redevelop old parts of towns. And so I brought up the MicroTIF, and it's a good plan. Some of the towns are starting to accept it after they understand it. And he did extremely blighted. Senator Wayne did, and I fully supported him. We're tied in unemployment and unemployment, and there was another high unemployment and poverty rates. But you try, but that's still, it's meaningless unless you have the character of the elected officials to follow the intent of laws. But Merplat's cruising along. It's really doing well. I tell you, what I hear from people, don't listen to what you hear from, what I hear from folks in Lincoln and stuff when they visit North Platte is what we've done to the downtown.
Mm.
It's an image thing.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
And
that's great feather
and
on
I
our cap.
I fought the people on the CRA for 20 years that this, you had to fix up the old downtown to have the image, the community pride, that we who've lived here for periods of time take pride in our old downtown, which is the heart and soul of any community. And it's really doing well, and I hope the businesses are doing well. We try to frequent them if we, but when you get a certain age, you don't need a lot of stuff. But
Senator Groney, I want to backtrack.
Well, you can't have too much ice cream.
Yeah, well, my wife has been there a few times with the grandkids.
Senator Groney, I want to backtrack a little bit here. We were talking about the mall property a little bit. That was some controversy throughout the past couple of months on the enhanced employment area. What are your stance on the EEA and that being used here in the city?
I want to clarify what somebody, this amateur guy writes in the Telegraph, made it sound like those three city council people were against TIF. They supported TIF for both the packing plant and the mall. It was that enhanced development area. Gretna used it. I used to be on the revenue committee. I got off there. And Gretna used it. The Vistas used it. I can live with it. I don't have to buy there. I mean,
it's completely avoidable.
Yeah, if I was a grocery store, I wouldn't build there because, I mean, you're talking about people. A lot of the stuff you buy at a grocery store has sales tax on it. And why would you go there? And it's the fairness of it is that it protects the existing businesses. They do have a competitive advantage of 1.5% or whatever that tax is. I think it's a little less than that. But that advantage, so it protects existing businesses. It's added income, but quite frankly, I don't know if it's that much income is going to help them because the inflation on inputs for construction is probably eating that up already because of they waited for to pass the city council. But when you're an elected official and you say you will not support any tax increases and you get elected and you vote no on a tax increase, do you get mad at that elected official, or do you say, thumbs up, this person actually did what they said they would do? And they're getting criticized because they did what they said, those three individuals, that they would not increase taxes. We call people who do that and say something and do the opposite hypocrites. And we hate politicians because they do it. So this community owes a lot to those three elected city council people because they voted their conscience, they voted what they told people they would not increase tax approve tax increases. So, at the end of the day, I don't have to buy there, but if there's something I need, I'm not going to drive to Kearney. and they have it in the mall, I'm going to the mall. And I want to go to movies again. I like theater movies. I will go to the movie theater there because I'm assuming my price of my ticket for the movie will have that tax on it, too.
And a guy like you, wouldn't you rather drive over to the mall to purchase something than have to hop on the computer, too?
I don't do the computer thing.
Neither do I. I do maybe once a year I'll look at it a little bit around Christmas.
I did it once. I tried best to find a pump for my pond, an aeration pump, and I called local folks. I called here, and then I called Kearney, and they all told me to go on the Internet because they just couldn't stock them anymore because everybody was buying them on the Internet. So, but that's the only thing I can think I've bought in the last 5 years on the Internet.
Yeah.
I just don't do it. I'm a tactile person. I've worked hard for my money. I like to pick it up, turn it over.
Feel it before you
try it on.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And
online shopping's a last resort in my book.
I'm a three-dimensional shopper. I like to see all three height, width, and depth, whatever I'm buying.
Now, Senator Groney, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, you were in the Nebraska Land Days Parade this past Saturday. Governor Pete Ricketts was here as well in the parade. I think he was just a little bit in front of you. And then there were a couple of candidates for governor here, including Jim Pillen and Charles Herbster. I think it was kind of big news last week to see your colleague down the legislature, Senator Lynn Linehan, formally endorse Pillen for governor.
Not big news to me. But I don't know. I don't like Pillen. I will not support him. Arrogant. When Senator Erdman and I and Brewer and some rural senators start asking why so much money at the University of Nebraska, because, you know, we have a community college and things like that, and state colleges out west here.
And quality ones at that, I'll ask.
Yes. And he and Hawk started a PAC, Political Action Committee, to raise money to give to candidates lots of money, $5,000 to $10,000. That they would write a blank check to the University of Nebraska if they got elected, because he's a regent right now. I don't want anybody like that near the governor's office, period. Now, Herbster's a good man. I'm sitting back and not endorsing anybody. There's other candidates that may be coming. Foley, for example, strong right to life.
Our current Lieutenant Governor Mike Foley.
Yeah. So... No, and even Herbster, I told him just the other day, you want to take a picture? And I said, yeah, no. I said, because I know what your campaign will do. You put a picture with this Lincoln County state senator on your Facebook making it look like I'm endorsing. I said, I'm not. Not yet. If you're last horse standing, I will. But I don't know if my endorsement means anything. I don't know if Linehan's means a damn thing. But there's Lindstrom, I thought, might be here. Was he here? When you're in the parade, you don't know who's in the parade.
I didn't see him.
Other than a few in front and a few back, that's all you can see.
I didn't see him, but like I told you, I left shortly after I saw you and candidate Herbster. I had left soon after that. So Senator Lindstrom may have been in there. He's the other individual that's in the race so far.
It's too early, guys. It's too early.
It's very early.
It's over two and a half.
There's been some rumblings that Dave Heineman might be considering a run,
I've
too.
I've heard that.
I've heard some rumblings.
I always liked Dave, but I'll tell you what, unless he changes his attitude on property taxes, I'm not supporting him either. In fact, doing his administration is why we have the highest property taxes we do, because he kept shifting so he could keep the state budget down and brag that he only raised it 0.5% or 1.5%. He supported legislation that shifted funding government to property taxes. And his standard statement when somebody had asked him about property taxes was, that's a local issue, it's not my problem. The hell it was. He signed and pushed bills that pushed the funding for education towards property taxes so he could keep his state budget, politically reasons to keep his state budget down. So that's not good government. But overall, he was a good governor, but we have a high tax, high spending state while he was governor, period. I'm going to start telling it more like it is. I'm going to start writing my column if I can get over writer's block. But I'm trying to get one this. It's a bad disease if you've ever, you write columns.
I have, honestly say, I've never had that. I sit down at the computer and just you know, I pick a topic and then I can.
I have more of a truth block because I know if I sit down, I'm going to tell the truth and I'm going to piss a lot of people off. So I got to get over that one. Excuse me, but that's the truth. Like I said, the truth. Anyway, I told one guy in the parade, I got a lot of shout outs from people who said, keep it up, Mike. Keep giving them hell. I told the one guy, I said, do you know what's sad about society right now? That when you tell the truth, you're giving them hell. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
something to be said there.
Yes. Senator Groney, do you have any other plans this summer to attend some of the other parades in your
I'm thinking serious about settling. My back is doing better.
Good.
And I walked a lot of this. The only problem with this one was you don't want to get behind horses, and you don't want to get behind a dance team.
Yes.
Because the dance, I loved watching the dance.
Yep.
But as
a participant, you want to have a little room from the dance teams and the marching band sometimes,
well,
too.
Well, no, the dance team dances, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is moving to parade. They stand there and you pause and you know, guy, get a rest. But then for the next 5 minutes, you're running to try to keep up.
Catch up with those young high school gals.
Felt like I was doing the wind sprints. But anyway.
But you were able to walk a lot of the parade this year?
Oh, yeah.
We walked most of it, yeah. I know that the back's been a problem. You had started out walking the parade years ago and had some back issues since then.
Oh, yeah. And I've walked them all except I think the one with... I don't know. My memory's short.
Nice to have the option to hop on the tailgate, though, if you needed to, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was nice. The pickup was better than a car. Because you just, especially an old pickup with a tailgate. These new pickups, the tailgate's 4 foot in the air.
Yeah.
And
you wouldn't be able to jump up too many times before you might have to call out the unit.
But no, we'll see what happens. I'm not involved in many summer interims. I specifically didn't sign up to much. But... So we'll just see what happens, pause, and go back at it for last year and see what happens. But we're going to hit some of these issues in the column, and I'm trying to prod, and I'm getting pushback, prod some of the conscience of some of the conservative senators. It's time to do what 16 other states have already done on the critical race theory. I'm just sick and tired of being called a racist because it's racism, because I'm white. I had no slaves. My great-grandfather fought at the age of 14 in the Civil War on the Union side. He survived, and he was in there for 4 years. I'm tired of this crap about race has something to do with my relationship with somebody else. That's 90% of the Americans, and we're tired of it. And we're, you know, watching the parade, and the folks I was watching, there's all colors in that parade, and they were all working families in North Platte. Nobody cares what color you are. But that's what I plan on attacking, some of those social issues, and try to stand up and take the rotten tomatoes. I got hit with a water balloon the other day. Some guy thought I was too hot, I guess.
Hey, but, what a nice person, letting you cool off a little bit, huh?
Yeah, he was. He was a brave individual. Throw a water balloon. But anyway, no, I got a lot of support, and I appreciated what I heard from out of the people, participants at the parade.
Senator Groney, as always, we appreciate the time. Look forward to having you on the program again next Monday, sir.
Yes, I'll be there.
More coming up on Mugs in the Morning after a quick news break.